This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey, listen to Wrestling Up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh.
Hey.
Gonna take a look ahead at Elimination Chamber. We got a bunch of other cool stuff to get to as well, but gotta make sure we get through the pay-per-view preview. Let's talk non-Elimination Chamber matches first. We got two of them. They are both for championships. Women's Intercontinental Championship first up. Becky Lynch coming in as champion going up against AJ Lee.
Well, this I could see going one of three ways. Either it kind of mirrors AJ Lee's debut, and we get the ultra-powerful roll-up of Doom, which would be a really quick finish. It's a competitive match, and AJ Lee wins. Or it's a competitive match, and Becky Lynch steals it at the very end, giving us a reason to continue this over to WrestleMania and potentially maybe add some of the other satellites to the championship.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think with four matches on the card, that's what it is when we record. I don't know if they'll throw one away on a 10-second match. So for me, I'm going to put that as the least likely opportunity. And it's just going to be down to who does pick up the championship. What I thought was going to happen is I thought we were going to get that fatal four-way here with Maxine Dupri and Natalia, or Natty, also included, and then have the singles match at WrestleMania is where I thought it was going to go. But we got the singles match here. Maybe it's the fatal four-way at WrestleMania. Maybe it's just the one-on-one rematch at WrestleMania. But if Becky Lynch comes out with the championship, do we need to run it back again? Not entirely sure. My gut is leaning on AJ just because we are in Chicago. Both her and Punk are in championship matches. There's some iconography or imagery that you could definitely have at the end of the show with those two. And ultimately, Becky won't be hurt if they do toss the belt over to AJ. I do think Becky will still be involved in a WrestleMania match with regards to this championship, whether she has it or not.
That's why I go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is the Becky wins, but she cheats the heck heaven to win to win, and then we get a ladder match at WrestleMania for the title, and we throw in all the satellites.
Yeah, I think we both have the same start point, right? It's a match against Lynch and Lee, and we both have the same end point. It's just who's going to carry the title between those two points is really the only thing that that changes between our approaches. But I think in terms of the World Heavyweight Championship, unless you got more?
Oh, I was just saying, that's definitely the case. I personally think that may be... I don't think they want to like just throw the title onto AJ for like a month, because I think the purpose of the WrestleMania match will be to split it off of both Becky and AJ. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see her just holding it for a month, because this title is barely a year old.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea. So I think that's why I think Becky retains, does it dirty, and then loses it in the ladder match at WrestleMania, probably to Natalya Neidhart.
That is fair. What I was going to say is I was going to connect us into that World Heavyweight Championship match, CM Punk walking in as champion going up against Finn Balor. A lot more on the line than just a championship. Roman Reigns has selected this championship as his decision from winning the Royal Rumble. And when Roman Reigns is involved, you know that's going to be the main event of night two with WrestleMania. And so CM Punk is putting his WrestleMania main event on the line to give Finn Balor a shot at the title.
This would be hilarious if Finn won. It'd be absolutely hilarious. Would kind of like give us back the moment from where he won the title in the first place, the Undisputed title ring, which I can't believe was 8 years ago at this point. The fact that he went through Roman on his way to that match. A much different Roman than now. But there is no, absolutely no Dolph Ziggler universe in which he wins this title here. This is, it's going to be Punk will win, and then Monday night is when we finally get Finn kicked out of the group.
Yeah, he's rising those tensions for sure.
Yeah, he's playing his he's doing his old theme again as it's and it's permanently back.
We're seeing him spar with Dominic as well verbally.
And having Punk tell him he's better than the group. He doesn't need the group. They're weighing him down. And him seemingly doing everything that Damian Priest did when he was World Heavyweight Champion prior to Finn Balor taking him out of the group. Except he didn't hold a title.
Yeah. I see two options for the end of this match, and both of them are Finn Balor losing. Finn has said, obviously, he wants to go it alone, as you said, very similar to what Damian Priest was telling the Judgment Day towards the end. And so you've got option A. They don't go along with it. Dominic or JD come out and try to help Finn and ultimately cost him the match, and that leads Finn to get frustrated and fully ditch them because they're not listening to him. Or they're already mad, and they're going to purposefully cost Finn the match against CM Punk. One way or another, the Judgment Day are costing Finn Balor this match. It's just their intentions going into it. They're either on purpose, ready to kick him out, or they are going to be accidental and he's going to be ready to walk.
So, literally what I just said about the Damian Priest stuff. I think option three. They don't show up. They respect his wishes. They don't show up. He loses. And then they kick him out on the next night because he showed that he's too weak to be able to do it on his own.
Fair enough. Well, we'll see how Dominic fares when he actually defends one of those championships next week against Penta, I believe. But that's a next week problem. We got two chamber matches to get to. You want to talk men's or women's first?
Let's go to the women's because the men's is a little bit more interesting, and I want to save that for later.
Alrighty, well, women's elimination chamber match. We saw Liv Morgan pick Raquel Rodriguez, and that leaves Jade Cargill and her WWE Women's Championship as the winner for the elimination chamber. Going into that match, we have Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, and just coming in this week, Raquel Rodriguez to round out the field.
Since this is for sure being the SmackDown title, that immediately eliminates Rhea Ripley. And you said Raquel Rodriguez, so I think you just tipped your hand on who you're picking. Because she's in this match and isn't the champion yet.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out that you should have said Stephanie Vaquer. I think it eliminates anybody who's a Raw talent immediately. So Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Raquel Rodriguez, gone from the equation. That leaves us with Tiffany Stratton, Kiana James, and Alexa Bliss. And I'm cutting Tiffany off because she just had the title. So,
sure,
and we don't.
Surely
need to
you're
going to
cut Kiana James off, right? Surely.
So we have a 50-50, I think, between Alexa Bliss and Kiana James, and it depends on how highly they view Kiana. I could see them. I could see Kiana winning. I could legitimately see her winning. The fact that she's even in the match surprises some people. It didn't surprise me because of who else was in the match and them having a feud already. So, didn't surprise me. I'm going to say Alexa Bliss wins, and this is to give her a moment at WrestleMania that she hasn't had in a few years.
Yeah, I think I'm similar with you that I have two options coming out of this, Alexa Bliss being one of them, but my second option is Tiffany Stratton. I'm not going to discount her just yet. Whether I want to see it or not, different question, but I'm not going to discount her. Had Kiana James instead have been a Lash legend after the performance that we saw at the Royal Rumble, then maybe I would believe in the rookie coming out on top and getting a match against Jade at WrestleMania, but Kiana, I'm not entirely sure with what they're trying to do with her, with the pairing with Julia, so we'll see how that all rocks out. And between Stratton and Bliss, you're right, we just saw Stratton, so I'm not overly interested in heading straight back into a Cargill-Stratton feud, so it's Bliss by default, right? It's kind of the option here. Even if you were to bring the Raw talent back in, Rhea Ripley busy with the tag championships, presumably that's going to be the path to WrestleMania. Asuka also in that. Raquel Rodriguez, maybe. If you were to, you know, make me pick a third favorite, I'd put her, you know, go Bliss, go Stratton, and then put Raquel. But the money's got to be on a Bliss or on a Stratton, really. We still got time before the song to talk the men. So we talked, obviously, Roman Reigns has picked CM Punk or Finn Balor in the off chance that he does come out with the win, meaning this is going to be who will face Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship again, SmackDown side of things. We got Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and qualifying on Raw this week, Jey Uso, a very confused Jey Uso that was potentially meant to be Bronson Reed, but he unfortunately tore his bicep in that match, leading us to have the field that we have for the Elimination Chamber.
Let's see, with champions Drew McIntyre, so who would I want to see most against Drew for the title? Well, I would like to see Trick. But it's way too early for a WrestleMania match for Trick Williams. The same could be said for Javon Evans, but we know Javon Evans is going to be, the lack of a better term, the spot monkey of the match. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes seems like the logical decision. I kind of want to go off base, though. I think I'm going to go with LA Knight.
Okay.
I have no reason, no way to to defend my choice. Just that it's just not Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I think had Jey Uso not been in the match and it had been Bronson Reed, I think what was going to happen with the vision, whether it be a tag match, a six-man tag match, an eight-man tag match, would probably have involved LA Knight. It seems, you know, set up and ready to go. Maybe, you know, Bronson eliminates him. That's how we do it. But now that we've got the field we have and the members of the vision that are going to be healthy for WrestleMania, we're down to two. Not entirely sure, really, how we're going to pull it all out or, like, what we're going to end up pulling out for LA Knight. I agree with you. Both Evans and Trick would be amazing. I'd be very happy to see it, but it is just a smidge early for those folks, and that leaves me with Orton and Rhodes in terms of, for me personally, to pick. I think Jacob Fatu still floating around. You know, I can't shake McIntyre, Rhodes, Fatu as options here. We've seen McIntyre mess with Cody and stop him getting the opportunity too many times. The story that they're writing is there. Is it WrestleMania? Most likely, but, you know, they don't always want things to be the most obvious outcome. They've switched it up on us a couple of times. But with Fatu not in the match, I don't know. We'll have to see how it comes out. But if you were to make me pick out of the six men laying in front of me, I'm going to go with the safe bet of Cody Rhodes. Would a Javon Evans or a Trick Williams? I'd prefer Trick of the two, just in terms of facing Drew McIntyre. Be way more awesome and way more fun? Yes. Do I think it'll happen, though? Unfortunately not.
Yep. By the way, I think Javon Evans and Trick Williams could make a WrestleMania main event in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be fun as heck to watch. I will say this. I do have a dark horse.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of LA Knight, who's already a dark horse. And that's Jey Uso.
Okay.
I could honestly see it. I could see Jey winning it and facing him, and then you have Cody versus Fatu as a match, and then for WrestleMania, and you can give him some crazy stipulation and let him go at it. And Cody finally has a WrestleMania match that isn't for the title. And then Orton can go and punt kick the former football player / current turn commentator that's been like bad mouthing him on WrestleMania, and LA Knight can go do whatever he does with the Vision.
Yeah, that is fair. We'll see how it all shakes out, but it is time to go into our entrance theme this week. We'd normally play the Elimination Chamber theme, but we couldn't make it radio safe enough, so instead we're going to go with Chicago's own CM Punk's theme playing for you now. On Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh, and I just want to jump to NXT. When we record, it's literally NXT goes off the air, bang, we hit record. And sometimes there's good stuff to talk about, sometimes there's not a lot. There was a lot today on NXT. We got new NXT tag champions, the Vanity Project, coming over from Evolve, now holding three championships, with their leader also having the Evolve championship, intermingling with the NXT title feud between Ricky Saints and Joe Hendry, and intermingling with the NXT North American title feud with Ethan Page and Miles Bourne, who managed to take that title in the main event, with Miles Bourne being our brand new NXT North American champion.
It was roughly about time for Paige to lose. And honestly, I don't think Miles Bourne is a bad choice. It was a little hokey pokey about how they went about it with all the run-ins and stuff. But and Miles Bourne essentially channeling his inner Cena, Super Cena, during the match, but it gets Ethan Page move on, and maybe this sets him up to debut on the Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Mostly I'd want him to be on SmackDown because that's where Chelsea is, and I still want to see more of Chelsea and Ethan.
100%. I think for me, this episode of NXT And there's some other stuff that sadly I have to talk about as well. Was very much about setting up where we're heading with the roster. They lost a few talents. They're trying to find their footing again. Really introducing the Vanity Project trio, bringing them in, mixing and mingling them with Paige and Saints to sort of immediately make them important. We also saw Shiloh Hill and a little bit of Hank and Tank as well mingling in and just kind of showing us that, you know, this is the next feud for every championship, basically. I think there's a multi-man match next week on NXT between some of those guys as well. So I'm sure some of them will come around for NXT Vengeance Day, which I think is their next show. And we'll see how it all rolls out. But excited to see Miles Bourne as champion. I think he deserved something. He didn't capture the NXT championship when he had those shots there. But I think the NXT North American championship is going to look good on him as well. As you say, Ethan Page had the championship, for a really long time, had a great reign, got a bunch of people over, excited to see what he does next. He'll probably still have a couple months floating around, the scene, getting his rematch, I'm sure, cause, he'll complain to high heaven if he doesn't get it. But we'll see how it all shakes out for NXT. What I did allude to earlier, we finally got it. We said it was going to happen soon. Sol Ruka, Zarya, they exploded. We say it every day. We'll get it right eventually. Zarya absolutely demolishing Sol Ruka prior to her championship match. JC Jane just sort of picking up the scraps, and then Zarya going in for seconds, making sure that Sol Ruka knows that it was Zarya that stopped her from getting that championship.
Yeah, broken clock is right twice a day. it's exactly what we expected. I'm surprised that they didn't have the match, but then when you consider everything that happened during the show and all the title matches that did happen, I guess they sacrificed time from this match to give us the other matches. Mm-hmm. So, and it this is like the most effective way of sending the story on. And we have Zarya basically saying, all right, you owe me, JC. I want a title shot next week. If not, I'm doing what I did the soul to you. So I assume we get that match, and the opposite happens. So Ruka takes her out, JC Jane retains, and then we find out who JC Jane is eventually handing the title to on at TakeOver, at Stand and Deliver.
100%. I think they'll do some sort of triple threat, involve them all in there. But we'll see how it all shakes out. I'm just excited that they did finally pull the trigger on the explosion. Zarya looks like a bad AWS, and that's what's important to me. Sol Ruka obviously made from her main event appearances, Royal Rumbles and such. Zarya, I need that momentum behind her so that we can see good things from her. We've got a couple more minutes left. I want to flick on over to Raw. Just talk about the entire show was a AJ Styles tribute, ending in his, final segment. We got a little sketch, you know, he picked the gloves back up. He put them back on, at the Royal Rumble. We weren't entirely sure. He explains why he wanted to bring them to his home state and do it there. Leaves the jacket, leaves the gloves, gets told he's in the Hall of Fame, and then gets to hug Frankie Kazarian, Abyss, the Good Brothers, and a bunch of other special guests as well. And overall, basically just has his little retirement ceremony to cap off of Raw.
Yeah, I know this is about AJ, but I wanted to point out that they're basically using the Undertaker to announce the Hall of Famers in a way that makes sense with you consider an Undertaker is a mortician and takes their bodies to the final resting places. He's basically taking people's careers to their final rest in place of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. It is an interesting role for the man. He pulls it off. People will start figuring it out when The Undertaker comes out. I was a little scared he was about to say we're going to run it back at WrestleMania. Don't want to see it. But it was a wholesome little announcement instead.
Yeah, and he did the same thing with Stephanie too earlier. AJ Styles is one of the like elites to have ever done it. He had 10 years in WWE, like 8 years in TNA, an unquestioned, unrivaled career. He put TNA on the map. It was part of the reason why it was a solid number two for so long. And then the stuff he did with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe. It is sad to see him retire, but I'm glad he was able to retire while still being able to do it, not be unfortunately broken down to the point where he couldn't do it anymore. Mm. Referencing The Undertaker on that one.
Yeah, it was a lovely moment for sure. And for someone who, you know, he did his last match with Gunther, and I guess the match at the Rumble was more about Gunther than it was about saying goodbye to AJ. And so it was cool for him to get this back in his home state and have that sort of moment to say goodbye to everyone. And so, yeah, it was a lovely little, you know, capstone to the end of it. It's crazy to think 10 years in the WWE is insane. When, you know, I remember him first coming in, we were like, is he going to finally jump to WWE? Oh, my God. And now he's basically part of the furniture.
It is one of those situations where it's like AJ, he's earned it. He's also, I think, the third person in the history of the company to be inducted while still being part of the active roster, even if he technically retired beforehand. He's still part of the roster, so.
Yeah. It'll be cool to see him go in as a part of the festivities this year for sure. Even if he's, you know, long overdue a TNA one. Sort that out. But we are completely out of time this week. It has been great talking to you.
Hi, B.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUP, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUP, our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUP, and we will catch you next week. It's like the prize right in front of my eyes, taking up the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never win ever on record, there's the one to protect you. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.